The Secret Farm by Sharon Court. Chapter 3. This is part 3 of a 5-part series specially made for North End Play Scheme 2017. If you want to hear the other parts of the story, you can find us on Facebook. Just look for North End Play Scheme. Right, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Holly and Ben watched as Mrs. Worthington Trent stormed across the farmyard. She looked like a woman of purpose, a woman on a mission. And that's exactly what she was. "Mr. Bottom! Mr. Bottom!" she called loudly. Frank and Milo looked up. And Ben gaped as Milo stood up and up. "He's a really tall man," said Ben. "But except, what's he wearing on his head?" "He's not wearing anything on his head," hissed Holly as they got nearer. "Milo's a minotaur. Those are his horns. Don't say anything rude, he'll get really upset." "Oh, gosh! No, of course I won't, I promise," said Ben. "Look, wait, don't go right up to them. Let's just feed the chickens here and the peacocks, and we'll listen in." "Are we supposed to do that?" said Ben. "Probably not," said Holly, "but I want to know what she's up to."
"Morning there, Lady Worthington Trent. How are you today?" said Frank respectfully.
"Meh,"
said Milo, grunting disrespectfully. Milo didn't have a lot of time for Lady Worthington Trent. He had his suspicions about her, just like Holly did.
"Well, Mr. Bottom, as you can see, I popped in to just check in on my lovely Misty."
"You mean our lovely Misty," said Frank carefully.
"Well, yes, of course, yes. Lovely Misty, yes. The board have asked me to pop in just to let you know they're going to be doing an inspection next week, I think, or very soon after, just to see how everything's going on, you know, the usual sort of thing."
"But we had an inspection," said Milo gruffly, "not 2 months ago."
"Ah, I see you're still here then, Martin."
"His name's Milo, ma'am," said Frank firmly, "and we did. He's quite right. We had an inspection 2 months ago."
"Ah, well, this one's just a tip-top, just to make sure everything's awfully jolly good, you see," said Lady Worthington Trent in a bit of a rush. "And we've got some specialists coming in from one of the zoos overseas. They're particularly interested in our lovely Misty and what she can do. So do be kind to them when they come in, won't you? Right, I must be off. I'll see you soon. Bye."
And off she went again. "That don't sound right to me," said Frank, scratching his head. "We did have an inspection. I'll have to go and talk to Trevor. Milo, you ready to sort that feed out?"
"Yes, Frank,"
said Milo.
"Oh, lovely. Thank you very much, fella. I'll be back in a minute. Thomas!
Called Frank across the yard. A man in a flat cloth cap and slightly dishevelled expression hollered out from underneath another barn.
"What's up, Frank?"
"I've got to go in and make a phone call. Can you make sure the stables are mucked out?"
"I did it yesterday."
"I know you did. Look, the kids are here. They'll help you. Bit of hard work did no one any harm. I'll be back in a minute."
Ben stood there watching as Milo's huge muscular arms lifted up entire sacks of feed and put them on a gigantic barrow. The wheelbarrow itself was as big as Ben's bed, and he was sure he'd never be able to lift it.
"You all right there?"
said Milo, frowning.
Yes, said Ben. I just was... Your wheelbarrow is as big as my bed," he stuttered, not really knowing what on earth to say.
"I've never met a minotaur before," he blurted.
Milo looked at him, big, thick, bushy brows coming down over his long bull's snout.
"Don't suppose you have,"
said Milo after a while.
"Would you like to see my work?"
"Your work? I mean, yes," said Ben, not quite sure.
"Come over and see. I'm a carpenter, you see,"
said Milo in his deep, gruff voice.
You should go, said Holly. Go and see. Milo's really good. He makes amazing things. I'm just going to go and check on Grandpa and then we'll go and help Thomas muck out the stables.
Oh, all right, said Ben, a little bit nervously. Ben trotted off after Milo, who picked up the enormous wheelbarrow as if it weighed nothing at all and trundled with ease in another direction. Holly, meanwhile, scampered across the yard and listened in through the window underneath the rose bushes.
Thing is, Sir Thomas, she could hear her granddad saying on the phone, I just don't trust her. Lady Worthington Trent said always talking about how some of the animals be better off with private collectors, and I know the board has always been very supportive of the farm here, but I don't see why she's always dropping in unannounced, bringing things for Misty that's no good to her. She's got her heart set on that creature, you know, and I just think that...
Yeah, of course, Sir Trevor. But could you look in...
Yes. No, I understand. Yeah, you've got the National Trust again.
Yeah.
No, I see.
All right. Yes, I will. Okay, then.
Goodbye, sir.
Holly crept away from the window as she heard her grandpa, Frank, and Mrs. Bottom having a conversation. Things did not sound good.
They spent the rest of the morning mucking out the stables, which was stinky, but much better when it was finished, and making sure that all the ditches were clear and all the rubbish collected and all the animals fed. It turned out that Hera, the hippocampus, and the pond she was living in was amazingly deep. Milo explained it carefully to Ben using a diagram. Well, in fact, it was a stick drawing in the dust, but it worked just the same. Turned out that the pond had been widened to make room for Hera when she first arrived many years ago. And while they were widening it, they discovered a natural well and a source of underground water. This meant that the pond naturally connected to a huge, wide lake underground, which was perfect because then it meant that Hera could go swimming wherever she wanted. Sometimes she'd go off for several days, and Grandpa Frank did actually wonder whether, in fact, it connected to the sea somehow or other, or another lake somewhere else. She also came back periodically with mer people, which was really exciting. They didn't come very often, certainly not when it was sunny. They preferred it much more when it was rainy in our part of the world, Holly was explaining. But it was so lovely to think of all these magical and mystical creatures just appearing. Ben didn't know quite how to explain to his mum about the creatures that he'd met because he'd made a solemn promise not to tell anyone. So instead he talked about some of the other farm animals and the things that people did to look after them, and it sort of worked. We mucked out the stables, mum, and we fed the animals with special feed, and it was hard work and my feet are sore, but it was great and I'm really looking forward to it.
This seemed to be enough for Ben's mum. She seemed to be satisfied with that as a story, and so they carried on with it. Each day, she would drop him off before work, and Ben would come in getting to know the animals, feeding them, cleaning things out, looking at Milo and his marvellous carpentry, fixing fences, carrying things, cleaning things. And it was no joke, it was really hard work. There were times when all he wanted to do was flop into a heap and go to sleep for hours. But Grandpa Frank was firm but fair.
Come on now, young Ben. We've got some things to do now. You've done an excellent job. Here, you can have a slice of fruit cake.
It turned out that even though Mrs. Bottom wasn't meant to be busy on the farm, her boredom at being confined to the farmhouse had turned into an obsession for baking. Flapjack, fairy cakes, fruit cakes, macaroons, you name it. If it could be baked, Mrs. Bottom was baking it. Pork pies, apple pies, sausage pies, cheese pies. If you could put it in a pie, she was baking it. My goodness. The house was always smelling of amazing things, and she made fresh bread, and Ben was sure that by the time the summer holidays were finished, he was going to look like a round, fat pudding. The weeks passed. The strange inspection that Lady Worthington Trent had spoken about didn't happen. And Grandpa Frank began to think that maybe she was just bluffing, or he'd misunderstood her, or something or other.